Hey there, it's Tim Villegas. This is Think Inclusive. How do you feel about going around barefoot? All the time. If you were to ask me 8 months ago, I would have said, I don't think I could do it. Now I feel differently. And our guest this week knows something about going barefoot. He was inspired to ditch the shoes after participating in the Barefoot Autism Challenge. Learn more right after a short break.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome back to Think Inclusive, where every week we bring you conversations about inclusive education and what inclusion looks like in the real world. This week, we are talking about running and walking. Now, what does this have to do with inclusion? Well, our guest, Ken Posner, is an experienced runner with 106 marathon and ultras completed, including record-setting runs on the 350-mile long path, and for the 292-mile Badwater Double. He lives in New York's Hudson Valley and works in corporate planning for one of the nation's leading mortgage servicers. He is a passionate advocate for the therapeutic benefits of natural stimulation and mindfulness, particularly through the practice of going barefoot, as he did with the Barefoot Autism Challenge. Although he's not a professional runner, Ken's got a fervor for barefoot running, and the energy and the joy that it offers has led him to adopt it as a lifestyle choice. With an awareness of neurodiversity and its intersections with physical activities, he champions the experience of going barefoot for both neurotypical and neurodivergent individuals, emphasizing the grounding and process-enhancing aspects it offers. Before we get to the interview, I want to tell you about Bookshare. Are your students reading below grade level? Do they struggle to read due to a learning difference like dyslexia, visual impairments, or physical disabilities? Bookshare is a free ebook library that makes reading and learning easier. Designed for students with learning differences, Bookshare lets students read in ways that work for them with ebooks in easy-to-read formats. Students can access millions of titles, including textbooks, educational materials, and popular titles like Harry Potter and Percy Jackson. Students read with free reading tools on the devices that they have access to at home or school. They can listen to words read aloud, follow along with highlighted text, read in large font or braille, and customize their reading experience. Bookshare is 100% free for all U.S. students with qualifying disabilities and schools through funding from the U.S. Department of Education Office of Special Education Programs. Sign up today at bookshare.org. That's bookshare.org. And now, my interview with Ken Posner. And for free time this week, I'm taking you to the trailer park. Ken Posner, welcome to the Think Inclusive podcast.
Thank you, Tim. I'm delighted to be here.
So, Ken, you brought to my attention something called the Autism Barefoot Challenge. Could you just tell us a little bit about that? And let's start there.
Sure, Tim. The Barefoot Autism Challenge is the idea of a fellow named Tyler Leach, who lives in Iowa, and he is an individual with autism. And he observed that in many cases, autistic people, including himself, enjoy going barefoot and prefer to go barefoot. And it's for the natural stimulation and the sense of grounding. It helps them process information about their environment and feel more confident. So the challenge is very simple. It's just the idea that you would go somewhere barefoot for the experience and then post a picture or a video on the Facebook page. And by doing that, show support and advocacy for the autistic community because you're both experiencing something that's important or maybe important to them. And you're also showing other people, hey, I'm going to do something that's a little different, but I'm going to do it because it matters to this group of people who prefer to be barefoot.
And is going barefoot something that you do normally?
Now it is, but it wasn't before the challenge. Now I had. Tim, I had started a little bit of barefoot running a few years ago just to, you know, improve my form. It's something that, you know, obviously Chris McDougall wrote the bestseller Born to Run, advocating for that. And some coaches recommend it. And I thought to myself, as a runner, I should do a little bit of barefoot running just to ensure that my form is good. But then it was so much fun that over time, I lost interest in running in shoes and started hiking barefoot. But I always thought of barefoot as, you know, an athletic endeavor, like, you know, running or hiking. And then when I heard about the challenge and Tyler Leach's idea, I was like, huh, you know, I could just walk somewhere. I could go to the grocery store or a coffee shop, right? And so once I started doing that for the challenge, I realized that Tyler was absolutely right. Just going barefoot anywhere, you don't have to run. You don't have to hike. It's not necessarily about cardio benefits, but the natural stimulation of just feeling the ground is incredibly, grounding. Mm-hmm. So now I go barefoot everywhere, unless it's shoes are required in, you know, and or it's not safe due to cold or hot temperatures.
Right. When I've floated this idea before, Ken and I have had a conversation before this conversation that's been being recorded, about barefoot running and about just going around barefoot. And I think I was telling someone about our conversation and they were like, well, doesn't that hurt? Doesn't like, that's usually, I don't know if when you tell people that you go around barefoot, like what the common response is, but I would imagine to be like, oh, you know, like I could never do that, or, you know, that would hurt too much or something like that.
So, you know, it's interesting, Tim, the responses are all over the map. Now, there's a lot of people who have the same reaction that I have, because I remember, and this may have been 10 or 12 years ago, I was just running in the park in shoes, and I saw a man and his daughter running barefoot. And I was like, wow, it made an impression on me, because I thought that, wow, that's so natural. And they look so self-reliant and so relaxed and confident being themselves. I just thought it was really cool. So I would say most of the time when I'm out on the trails or running, people think it's cool because it's natural. Natural is cool. And so generally I get positive feedback. Now, some people are startled and, you know, they've been told you have to wear supportive running shoes. You have to wear hiking boots. They see somebody without, and they have no understanding that, you know, in days gone by, everybody went barefoot before shoes were, you know, widely available.
Right.
So they freak out a little bit. And I get comments sometimes like, well, I couldn't even go barefoot in my bathroom. And my response is, you know, that's not good, but I don't say anything. But then there's a third category too, Tim. Some people get really triggered. And I'm not sure exactly why. I was in a coffee shop in Williamstown, Massachusetts. And the proprietor came out and he was just so angry and so rude and confrontational. You know, I promise you I'll never go back to that coffee shop again. But I don't know what, I guess he must have a sense that, you know, good people wear shoes and anybody who's not doing that is a troublemaker. So I felt like, you know, I'm not exactly a teenager anymore, but I imagine that's how, you know, he would yell at some teenager he didn't like coming into his coffee shop. So that's the range of reactions. And because, you know, barefoot's unusual in today's world, you are going to generate some reactions from people.
So I have more questions, but I also am aware that some people are probably wondering, like, why are you talking to this guy, Ken?
That's a fair question.
And the reason why is, you know, Ken actually emailed me and said, hey, I've got some really cool information about this autism barefoot challenge. And so as sometimes I have like conversations before booking a guest, and I was just so enthralled by the information that Ken had to offer. You know, Ken, it's not like you're a professional runner, or it's not like, you know, this is your job. You have a day job, you know. But it was just so fascinating to me and such a really interesting conversation. And anyone who's listened to me for, I don't know, however many years knows that I run, and that's an interesting, you know, that's interesting to me. But I wanted to bring Ken on because I think you have a really interesting perspective about running and about how it's connected to you neurodiversity. So I just want to, you know, tell people and be like, you know, this isn't Tim's typical guest, but I think that it really does fit in with what we're trying to do, which is have people really think differently about people who are different, right? And more, you know, have this more acceptance and you know, open our minds and our world to maybe something that is a little bit different. And walking barefoot's different, you know, like, as you were talking about, you know, this coffee shop thing, I would imagine that somebody is like, well, that's just not sanitary. That's what I've heard. You know, like if you walk around barefoot, you know, like in a dirty hotel room or like in a dirty, you know, sidewalk or whatever, that somehow it's not healthy for you to walk around barefoot. Have you ever heard that?
Well, for sure. And nobody's ever told that to me, but I've read articles and things where people raise concerns. And, you know, it's interesting, Tim, sanitation and hygiene are really important, and it made our world a much better place, but you can overdo things too. So, you know, the question is, you know, from a hygiene perspective, if you're walking around barefoot, you could be tracking dirt, but so are people in shoes, right? So in terms of tracking dirt, there's no difference. And then, you know, if you get dirty, you can wash them. So, you know, I think it's hard for me to understand what would be the risk. Now, you've got to pay attention, and you are taking, you know, responsibility on yourself. The hazards that I'm concerned about are, you know, would be heat or cold or, you know, the dreaded broken glass. But, you know, part of the practice of going barefoot is paying attention. And when you pay attention, you don't step on things that you shouldn't.
Right. Exactly. So I briefly mentioned neurodiversity, you know, in our conversation. I'm wondering, from your perspective, like, what does walking barefoot have to do with neurodiversity?
Well, Tim, you know, at the first level, it may not have anything to do with neurodiversity because, you know, back in the day, pretty much everybody went barefoot, whether they were neurotypical or neurodiverse, because shoes, you know, they may have been invented. People may have had moccasins and sandals, but maybe not everybody had them. But what I think's interesting in this case is the fact that Tyler Leach, who's an individual with autism, raised his hand and said, hey, natural stimulation is important to me. And what his point is that autistic people sometimes process information or process sensations differently from other people, and therefore they may be struggling to get more stimulation or less stimulation. But the stimulation, the natural stimulation of just going barefoot, is helpful to him. And Tim, by the way, the reason I reached out to you and to some others is when I participated in the Barefoot Autism Challenge, I realized that Tyler was right, and he had a very powerful statement to make here. So that coming back to your question, the point I'd make is neurotypical people have an easier time fitting in, right? Because they're typical, right? They're more, they're more the same as everybody else. And that's fine. But I think one of the elements of human life is that people can become so desirous of fitting in that they become very, very conformist. And I consider myself to be more of an independent person, and I'm less enamored of conformism, particularly when it doesn't make sense. So for example, you know, the requirement to wear shoes, you know, fine on a construction site, but it doesn't really matter anywhere else. And so the conformism can turn very hateful. And I think it may be easier for people who are, in some cases, neurodivergent. Maybe they can't fit in, right? Because they are so, in some way, so obviously different from other people. And so maybe because they can't fit in, they don't try as hard. They're not as determined to be that perfect, typical person. Mm-hmm. And that gives them a little bit of freedom to say, hey, you know what? Since I'm not trying to be the same as everybody else, I'm going to point out something that you guys are missing. So I think, from when I talk to people, I understand that barefoot is in many cases something that's popular among different neurodivergent groups of people. And I think they may have just rediscovered, you know, a truth, which is as humans, we're animals, we need natural stimulation. And barefoot is a great free way to get some of that stimulation that our neurotypical people in a very conformist mindset are no longer, you know, in many cases willing to even, you know, consider, which is a shame.
Yeah, I like the fact that barefoot, it seems to be a little bit, it's like definitely counter culture. You know, I mean, because the vast majority
of
us
used to do.
Yeah. We, you know, I mean, if you go anywhere, people are wearing shoes, you know, and if you walk around barefoot, you're going to stand out. And I think that anything that helps us maybe accept or understand somebody that's different, anything that helps us do that better, I think is a good thing. And so, I applaud you for, you know, walking around barefoot, and also for Tyler, and letting us know that that's something that's important, to them. Yeah. And then also just, you know, this idea of maybe feeling your world a little bit differently. I think that that's something to, you know, worthy to explore as well.
Oh, for sure. I feel very strongly about that. And this is, I guess, the link between running and barefoot. And I worry a little bit about the direction of the world. I worry that people will retreat from the natural world, and you end up retreating into the quote unquote matrix, right? The digital world. And I don't know. And the question is, will we, you know, retain our humanity if we are just digital creatures? And I don't know the answer to that. And I guess we'll all find out in due course. But whether you just walk around barefoot or whether you go running, you're engaging with your world. And it's what I call the full mind-body engagement. I have a huge hunger for natural stimulation and full mind-body engagement. And that's why I love running. And that's why barefoot, to me, barefoot is like free energy. And because it's just so much fun to pad along on the different surfaces, and you sort of focus on what you're doing because you have to pay attention and the surfaces change. To me, that's, you know, a little extra free happiness that is energy that I can use, you know, for the other things I have to do. So I feel very strongly about that. And again, you know, back to the people who are like, I can't even go barefoot in my living room. You know, I'm like, that's a shame. You're missing out.
Yeah. Well, you know, you're a runner. I would consider myself a runner. Let's talk about running for a little bit. What is it about running? Oh, you kind of have explained a little bit, but have you always been a runner? Did you run in high school, college? Were you on track? Like, how did you start running?
Well, I started in high school, but I was I used to do fencing. That was my sport in high school. And the coach said, you know, Ken, you ought to do some running just to, you know, improve your cardiovascular fitness, because, you know, a long fencing match can be tired. You know, you get out of breath. So I started doing a little bit of running, but initially I had really bad chronic shin splints, Tim. And eventually I went through and I got surgery to help with the shin splints. I think today people understand, back to barefoot, that the newfangled running shoes with the big squishy soles and the big heels, for some people, those can trigger the shin splints. And so more of a zero drop or a barefoot style shoe can alleviate those shin splints without the need for surgery. But even so, I got the surgery. It helped. Somehow I got through the Army. That was before the surgery. And it was in the Army that I developed, you know, a real appreciation for endurance, because we did road marches, we did long runs. And I felt that, you know, as hard and as they were afterwards, I had a sense that, you know, I went out and did something and earned the right to relax afterwards. I didn't really turn into a serious runner until I turned 40. I remembered when I was a kid, I went to a karate camp, and somebody pointed at a NFL and, you know, with a hushed voice and awe in their voice. And they said that man just turned 40. And for his 40th birthday, he ran 40 miles. And we were like, oh, we didn't even know. We had never heard of anything like that. We didn't think it was possible. So I forgot about that until I was 39 and a half. I was like, I woke up one day and I was like, I have to go run 40 miles. And I didn't actually do it until I was like 42. And that's when I got into ultra running. And so for the next 20 years, I guess, I've done a lot of long distance running. And I just love it. I mean, it's a huge source of energy for me and passion in my life. As I get a little bit older, we were talking about driving and hips and knees. And yeah, as you get older, you got to be even more careful about that stuff. But running, yeah, is a very important part of my life for sure.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I was never an official runner. I was never on track. I played basketball in high school. And in college, I just ran for fun. So, and this was, I went to college in the late 90s. And so there weren't like iPods or anything like that. So, you know, I would just grab my shoes. You know, and they weren't running shoes. Like, I think at one point I was wearing Sambas, like Adidas Sambas. You know, they weren't they weren't really meant for, you know, quote unquote. Well, I had thought, you know, of like, you know, the running shoe or whatever. And I would just run off and take out. And I honestly, I wouldn't even know how long I ran. I was just like, I'm running for X amount of minutes. You know, there weren't any smartwatches or, you know, fitness trackers. Yeah. I mean, like, I think I ran 4 miles. I don't know exactly. You know, I actually remember taking my car and like doing like the odometer and checking how far my route was. Just so
I've done that. I don't remember doing that back in the day.
But I just remember it was something that was meditative for me, and I really enjoyed the long distances. And it wasn't really about how fast I could run 4 or 5 miles. It was just like that I did it. And at the end, like you said, you felt like you did something, you know, like I ran 5 miles today, and it feels really, really good, you know? So yeah, I don't know if you have any.
Yeah, 1,000% on that. By the way, I ran my first marathon just because I started training for it because I thought it would make me a better person. Now, this, I was, you know, 25 years old. I had no idea what I meant by that. But I think it does, because it teaches you self-management. Because running requires, you know, it doesn't have to be hard, but it requires that little extra effort. And effort is always going to have a sensation of discomfort, because that's how your body keeps you from, you know, running yourself to pieces. And so you have to manage yourself. You have to pace yourself, hydration, nutrition, paying attention to joints and muscles. So that ability to manage yourself, and if you start doing longer runs or races or whatever, you can have, you know, stressful, difficult environments. And the ability to manage yourself through a difficult environment is the key to being, you know, the operator of your own mission, right?
Right.
And I would add too, the reason I kept running, it's so self-empowering, because if you do a 4 mile run, or if you do a 100 mile run, whatever it is, you get to the end of it and you say, I did it. And that's really the runner's high. People talk about endorphins and dopamine and all this sort of stuff. It doesn't really matter. And sometimes during a run, you have a feeling of flowing, which is nice. And sometimes during a run, you have a feeling of just heat and pain and being out of breath and not being fun. But the real runner's high is when you get to the end and you say, it may not have been graceful. It may not have been as fast as I wanted, but I did it. I moved myself from point A to point B. I'm in charge of myself. I can manage myself. And that's the real runner's high. And when it's part of your life, the runner's high extends throughout your life and gives you that energy and joy and confidence that just helps you do more than maybe you would have otherwise.
I often make this comparison to marathon or like long distance running to the inclusion journey, especially for individuals, teachers, school systems, because there's a sense that in school systems, especially ones that we work with MCIE, that we want things to change rapidly. We want things to change quickly because there's a sense of urgency of we have learners with disabilities who, you know, should be included, accepted, have a sense of belonging in these schools, and we want it to change overnight, but it's just not possible. You can't do that. It's a journey. It's a marathon. It's something that you have to train for. And not only that, but when you have gone through it, there's a sense of accomplishment and a sense of that we've done the right thing. And it kind of just, it self-reinforces, you know, in the systems that we've worked with for years, and they've been able to sustain the work. It's because they see that it's working and they see that, right. There's benefits, right? So, I just wanted to connect that too for our audience, Ken and I are talking about running and, you know, we're talking about the benefits and stuff like that. But there's a lot of things in life that, you know, when you put in the effort and you put in the work and you get to the other side of it, you know, maybe you're not even done, but you get that sense of accomplishment and sense of that you've done something, you know, really cool.
Yeah, for sure. And it's interesting, Tim, you bring up, you know, the connection. And I'm a big believer that running is not something you go out and do and then forget about. It's part of your life. And it's part about training yourself to be a better person and so that you can make the world a better place. And so you draw the link to the organizational situation where, you know, you'd like to, organizations have missions and life is always complicated. I have a corporate job. I serve on a couple boards for not-for-profits. And, but I think what another aspect of running that's helpful is it teaches, you know, what a lot of us call mindfulness. And if you're going to do a long run, by the way, Pam Reed is a famous ultra runner and she just ran the Badwater race, Hard Rock in Western States, which are 300 mile races. Badwater's 135 miles. So she did it in 3 weeks. She's not young anymore. So that's an incredible accomplishment. She's one of the most distinguished ultra runners in recent history. But she has a saying. She says, when I set out to run a 100 mile race, I don't run a 100 mile race. I run a 1 mile race 100 times. So what she's saying is break the impossible, mind-blowing goal down into small pieces and just focus on one piece at a time. So that's mindfulness. It's being in the moment. I was at the track the other day here in Dallas. It was 106 degrees and I was trying to do intervals. So I just, focused on one lap at a time and sometimes just little parts of the lap. But back to, schools and organizations, I think that's the right attitude. You can't change an organization overnight. I'm on a board of an organization and we're struggling with the DEI question. And we're not going to change anything overnight. That's for sure. But we could take a step forward, right? And so let's focus on just one step. So the board is next week probably going to form a DEI committee to do more work. And that's a first step, right? So one step at a time. That's what you learn running or hiking or walking. And, I feel like life, you can take one step a little bit to the left, or you could take one step a little bit to the right. And that's it. That's life. And then repeat, hopefully, for many steps. So I think that's part of the connection between the philosophy of running or the mindset of running and how we try to make progress with these tough issues in society.
So Ken, we talked a lot about running and we talked a lot about, both of our experiences. But I want to bring us back to, why you think it's important for us to learn from people, who think differently, who are different than maybe, the typical or the mainstream.
Well, sure, Tim. And I've got some very pragmatic answers. Sometimes I'm talking with people and we have the same point of view. Well, it's boring, right? Because we agree well on everything. And it's nice when you find people who share values and thoughts, but you're not learning anything new. And so we need to have a diversity of views, right? The Yale scholar Irving Janis wrote about groupthink. That's when everybody sits around and says, yes, we all think that's right. And if they're wrong, then everybody gets surprised. And an individual or an organization fails or suffers a disappointment or a failure that maybe somebody would have recognized otherwise. So I think that's one reason. And I'll go back, and mention again, Tyler Leach's Barefoot Autism Challenge. Here's somebody who is a little bit different from the neurotypical person. And he raises his hand and says, hey, barefoot provides natural stimulation. It's fun. I enjoy it. It helps me process my surroundings. And that should be true for everybody. But a lot of folks, being of a more conformist mindset, have lost that idea. So somebody who's a little different reminds us of something that we're at risk of missing. I've also, there's another pragmatic reason. And, this is why I think most modern companies support diversity is they want they want the best people. They want productive people. If you can help somebody access a facility, maybe they're in a wheelchair, but they might be able to make incredible contributions once they are able to be in the facility. So that's another common sense, pragmatic reason. But I'll add one more. I served for a very brief period in the Army many years ago, but, I remember a little bit of the ethos, and we've all heard this, leave no man behind. Or leave no person behind, in today's world we're very generally on average very prosperous, and if somebody is struggling, let's reach out a hand and help them and not leave them behind. So, those are the reasons that I think of.
Yeah, those are really great points, and also very pragmatic. We're humans, so we really should be looking out for each other.
Exactly. Yeah.
We do have a lot of people who listen who are educators, so it's like classroom teachers, principals, school leaders. Thinking about who's listening, you know, what would you want them to take away from our conversation?
Well, you know, first of all, I've benefited from great educators in, during, you know, when I was in school, and I'm not an educator, so I wouldn't be presumptuous and try to tell people what they should do. But the thought I would leave folks with is what we had talked a little bit about before, Tim. It's this idea of the full mind-body engagement. And so much education today is focused on skills, you know, STEM or whatever it might be, and that's important. But I think we take a risk if we focus entirely on the mind and leave the body behind. And, you know, this is something that, you know, for example, JFK made this point back in the 1960s. He said, you know, physical fitness is important to creating the moral strength that we need to do the right things. And you know, look, you could agree with that or not agree with that, but I think the full mind-body engagement and you know, for I've talked with educators. When I participate in the Barefoot Autism Challenge, I'll typically wear a little button so people know what I'm doing. And I've talked to teachers and therapists and others. And, you know, for some levels of autistic kids who have, you know, the more challenging issues, it would be hard, I think, to take them to a track. I don't know how to do that. But I think that's got to be important for them. I think it's got to be important for all kids, at least giving them that exposure. And so I worry a little bit, you know, as schools face budget pressures that, you know, and as our culture becomes more sedentary, I worry a little bit about that. And so I think that's the message, you know, for me, for what it's worth, the running or going barefoot, it's about the natural stimulation. It's about engaging with your world. And I'm hopeful that, you know, that's helpful to other people the way it has been to me.
Don't miss the mystery question right after this break.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
So if you could be a personal assistant to anyone, who would it be? If you could be a personal assistant
anybody?
I don't know about you, but I listen to a lot of podcasts. I listen to various kinds, you know, news podcasts, politics podcasts, you know, podcasts on faith and spirituality. Podcasts on sports, podcast, all different kinds of podcasts. But one of my favorite podcasters is Malcolm Gladwell. And
oh, sure.
So he's an author. He's written a number of books. Pushkin is his podcast company. And it's kind of like a secret dream of mine that I would love to, like, you know, be affiliated with Pushkin. It was just like, that'd be amazing, right? To, like, you know, work on one of his narrative podcasts. So I would be Malcolm Gladwell's personal assistant in a heartbeat.
Interesting. Yeah, I've read a couple of his books and enjoyed them. Okay, well, here's somebody. This is the best I can do on the spot. I just read a book by a fellow named Tom Satterley. And Tom was a command sergeant major in Delta Force for many years, and retired eventually. He fought in the Battle of Mogadishu and was deployed to Iraq. So a fellow who saw a lot of very difficult, dangerous duty. And after he retired, he struggled with what he calls PTS, post-traumatic stress. He doesn't mm-hmm. use the word disorder because he thinks it's natural if you're exposed to that kind of stress mm-hmm. to have these kinds of issues. And in his after service work, he's working with other veterans to help them deal with, you know, all the challenges that come with that, including substance addiction and alcohol. And so he now runs a foundation. So I think it would be really interesting. I don't know what his day-to-day life is like and what it would be like to be his personal assistant, but he's got, you know, the military mindset, the special operators, you know, incredible dedication to training and performance. But he's also realized there's more to life than just being, you know, a fighter, and that you've got to deal with these other issues. And he's out, you know, telling his story. He's got a great book. He's, I'm sure, involved in lots of other, you know, podcasts and interviews, and I think he's testified before Congress. So I think I would learn a lot from hanging around with him for a little bit.
Ken Posner, thank you so much for being on the Think Inclusive podcast. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Tim.
That chime means it's free time. Now, some of you know that I have another podcast called Trailer Park that I co-host with Ariel Nissenblatt. And on that podcast, we play podcast trailers, usually 1 to 2 minute previews of a current or upcoming podcast. And so this week, I wanted to share a trailer from a friend of mine, Amanda Morin. She's got a new podcast called The Empathetic Edge. Let's hit play on that trailer, and I'll meet you on the other side.
Are you a good boss?
Well, if you mean somebody who's always looking over your shoulder, micromanaging you, constantly looking for something that may not be going right with their employees, then no, I would tell you I'm not a good boss. But if you are thinking that a boss right now should be open and transparent and real in who they are authentically, then I think I'm doing a pretty good job right now. So what about you, Amanda? Are you a good boss?
Well, I mean, I'd like to think the people who work for me and I pay on a regular basis think so. But most days I'm just trying my best to be understanding and paying attention and thinking through how we can all work together. So I think I'm a pretty good boss. And then there are days where I don't do it well and I have to come back to it and try again.
Yeah.
So, Tally, you and I have been talking about what makes a good leader, what's working and not working in the workplace for a really long time. And now we want to bring the conversation to you, listeners.
So get ready for The Empathetic Edge, a new podcast launching next week. It's a podcast about empathetic and intentional leadership.
So who are we and why should you listen to us?
I'm Tally Dolge, and I am a self-proclaimed highly anxious leader. I've been a CEO, I've been a consultant, I've been an executive, and I have been talking to leaders for as long as I can remember.
And I'm Amanda Morin, and I've been a leader for over a decade, and I've come to learn that my superpower is empathy, and I even wrote a book about it.
Join us this season as we talk to people across the workplace spectrum about everything from jargon and plain language to how to bridge generational divides as the workplace gets both older and younger.
Subscribe now to The Empathetic Edge wherever you get your podcasts. And we promise we'll never ask you to circle back, put a pin in it, or put this podcast in the parking lot.
Folks, this one is going to be great. And I think particularly if you work in the school setting, you are going to find some great insights about building community. So find The Empathetic Edge wherever you listen to podcasts. That's it for this episode of Think Inclusive. If you are ready to move forward with inclusive educational practices in your school or district, come and partner with us. Our work begins with a conversation, so reach out on our website, mcie.org. Let's talk. Think Inclusive is written, edited, sound designed, mixed, and mastered by me, Tim Viegas, and is a production of the Maryland Coalition for Inclusive Education. Original music by Miles Kredich. Additional music from Melody. This episode has been sponsored by Bookshare, which is completely free. So check it out at bookshare.org. Thanks for your time and attention. And remember, inclusion always works. So Ken, this isn't necessarily going to be part of the podcast episode, but I wanted to tell you that I think our first conversation, which is a few months ago, has really inspired me to try barefoot running. And
oh wow,
yeah. So just a little bit about that, and then we can get into it. I don't know if I remember. I don't remember what I told you about my running, but I've been having some issues with my knee and hip flexors, just being really tight, and hamstrings and all this stuff. And running was not enjoyable. And I was having a really hard time. And we went on this road trip, my family and I, and just all the driving and stuff, it was my back and my hips and my knees and my feet were not happy with me, just absolutely not happy with me. So when we got back, I think I had rented, because you had suggested Born to Run, I think, right?
That's right. Yep.
Yeah. So I read Born to Run. I more or less skimmed it because I bought the book, but I kind of was like going through it and I'm like, oh, then Eric Orton, the Cool Impossible. I bought that and I was like, oh my gosh, this is fascinating. This is wonderful. I'm like, I wonder if this could really help, you know, all of the issues that I've been having. And so, I talked to my wife and I'm like, hey, listen, I want to get some zero drop shoes. I want to try going through some of the stuff in, you know, in this book. What do you think? And she's like, okay, you know, I support you. You go ahead, get your shoes and, you know, get the equipment and stuff like that. So over the last month or so, I had gone like completely barefoot as much as possible. I'm starting to do real short runs in zero drop shoes and, you know, changing completely how I run. And I'm already seeing like really, really great benefits. And it's like, wow. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't do too much running too soon. 'Cause your body's got to adjust.
Yeah.
But that's so interesting, Tim. I can't wait to hear more. But, you know, the one danger with Born to Run is it's about barefoot running.
Right.
But, you know, running is the more impactful way to get going, and your body has to, you know, small differences in angles and form can cause tendons and other parts of your body to need to adjust. The secret is it's much easier to start with barefoot hiking. Easier than barefoot hiking is just walking around, which it sounds like you're doing.
Yes.
And the risk is it's so much fun that you can go overboard. And I'm somebody who likes to go overboard or does ends up going overboard. So just be, here's the next book you should read, which is Barefoot Running Step by Step by Ken Bob Saxton.
Okay.
Ken Bob is the real guru of barefoot running. And he'll give you some good tips, like avoid, you know, be careful not to exaggerate your 4-foot landing. You don't want to strain your calves.
Right, exactly. Okay, cool. Well, anyways, so there was like, you know, a number of things that kind of happened that pushed me towards this like new style of running, but I just wanted to let you know that, like, definitely our conversation inspired some change. So I don't know, you know, that's pretty cool, I think.
I'm delighted. And I want to hear more as time goes by and you go further on this journey. I'm fascinated.
For sure. All right. Well, let's jump into the conversation
from MCIE.